We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you have entered a queue. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Questioners on the phone are requested to use only handsets and eventually turn off the volume of the webcast. Anyone with a question may press star and one at this time. Our first question comes from Andreas Venditti from Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Andreas.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for the swift presentation. Actually, I have actually a number of questions. Maybe we start with net interest income. Can you maybe provide a bit of color of how far the repricing has gone, maybe by the different books that you are working on? That's mainly on the interest income side. On the funding cost side, Pascal, I think you mentioned a stabilization. Does that mean the stabilization at the exit rate? Shall we assume that? Or I'm not sure how to understand this. On the expense side, FTEs obviously went down quite a bit, and you mentioned that the impact will be visible in the second half. Now, should we expect an impact, let's say, in line with the decrease in FTEs, or have the FTE declines been more in, let's say, more below average paid staff, so less than the decrease? On buy now, pay later, we had flat growth, and you mentioned a kind of shift in terms of focus on profitability. Is this done, or shall we also assume further, let's say, impact on growth in the second half, or should the growth rate basically resume? Yeah, maybe one last one from my side. On the dividends, you said at least four. Shall we assume they're basically dividends going, let's say, in line with profit growth, or well, thank you.
Excellent, Andreas. Thanks very much for the questions. Let me kick off with some color on the net interest income, and then and also a bit on buy now, pay later, and then I hand over Pascal for some more detail. And in fact, let me start with buy now, pay later from the flow perspective. So look, firstly, I think putting it into the context, right, we combine buy now, pay later and cards into one segment. And we're very pleased with the overall segment performance, right? We mentioned the revenue growth, you know, the 13% across the two, 15% coming from cards. I think really good progress there by the team in terms of pushing this forward. Indeed, we had a little bit of consolidation coming out of the combination of the two businesses, and we're really focusing on profitability. Hence, you also see the fees holding up here. But we do expect this business to return to growth in the near term, say 6 to 12 months. It continues to be an exciting opportunity for us. We've elaborated on this before. We have a strong market position. We have good retailer relationships. So we do expect that continued growth. We also reconfirm the 10 to 20 million net income contribution. And on top of that, as we said, Andreas, right, the ability to systematically tap into that customer base and cross it into the rest of the portfolio. So we're excited about the prospects. I'd say on buy now, pay later. In terms of net interest income, look, you'll recall, right, we tackled this very actively when the SNB at the time first started increasing rates. That gave us a window of opportunity, which we grabbed, right? And then obviously with the interest rate caps moving up, we continued to push this. And we continue to do so, right? As old contracts roll off and new ones come on. Hence, I think also the commentary on net interest margin. But let me hand over to Pascal here for some more detail and the other question.
Thank you, Andreas. So on the funding side, so I was referring to the end of period of funding costs. So basically, at the end of 2022, we were at 0.79%, and end of 2023. 1.47%, and now we are at 1.62% end of period as a funding cost. So that means you see that the increase, although is reducing, and now we anticipated as all this to simply stabilize or start to stabilize. So I was referring again to the end of period as a funding cost on the page as of 13. On the OpEx, first, clearly as of for the OpEx, we expect the cost income ratio to be below 49% for the full year 2024, which mean clearly will be as of below 48% as of for the second half of the year. We have clear line of sight given as of the revenue outlook, as well as the realized automations and the organizations of streamlining, which has already as of been implemented. So for now on, as of we anticipate reductions of the cost income ratio over the next now 2.5 years up to the 39 or below. And once again, I think important is to mention as the improvements on the cost income ratio is it's a ratio, so it's really as driven on one side, on the numerator side, as by the run rate savings, so coming out of these several automations, streamlining of organizations, and then as we mentioned before, on the revenue side. Finally, on the dividend, confirm as the dividend policy of $4, at least for 2024, and then increasing in line with sustainable earnings growth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mate Nemes from UBS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the presentation and for taking my questions. I wanted to follow up on NII and specifically net interest margin. I think in the presentation you wrote rebound to 5.5% expected in 2024-25. I think then in the prepared remarks you mentioned latest by 26. Could you provide any additional clarity on the timing of that? A rebound, I guess, to 5.5 by the end of the year appears at this point challenging, unless you're suggesting that you could accelerate repricing on the asset side. So any helpful color on that would be appreciated. And secondly, I'm curious if you could share any initial experience of it, the Twint buy now pay later or pay later rollout, usage patterns. What do you see actually on your platform, and whether that can really accelerate growth in the buy now pay later business? Just echoing what Andreas mentioned, seems like flat fees, lower billing volumes, e-commerce market not exactly growing. It doesn't scream off a growth story on that side. So if you could help us understand where that growth will be coming from. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Martin. Good morning. And Pascal, you kick it off and then I take the final play later, right?
Yeah, maybe as obvious, I start with the net interest margin. So first, I will remind everyone, the net interest margin is combinations of pricing activities, of commissions payment to our dealers and partners, on interest income, over interest income on our cash balances, and ultimately on the interest expense. And we said several times that the net interest margin is a very important KPI. So for the way we manage this business. 1 year ago, we had this net interest margin at 5.1%, and we indicated that we were expecting for the end of the year 2023 stabilizations, and we basically as demonstrated a stabilization even as a slightly increase to 5.2% as the second half of last year. We continue as to see now for the first half 2024 a further increase of 5.3%. So basically, as we demonstrate, we prove the rebound, we are confident that we'll move towards the 5.5. I said indeed, 2025, latest 2026, in the context of everything which is also happening on the capital market, interest rates, expectations. But look, we are confident of this rebound, and then coming back to the 5.5 in the midterm.
Thanks, Pascal. And Matt, look on the buy now, pay later. Look, I'd say first, you know, important to note, we are reiterating our expectations and guidance in terms of net income contribution for 2026 for this business. And, you know, so that remains intact and in place, and we're confident we'll get there. Look, in terms of Twint in particular, it's a relationship we like. You know, as is the case, these relationships take some persistence and patience to grow, but we're progressing I think we're progressing well. As I mentioned, right, we have a new product with the consumer-funded proposition live now. We had some of the major banks join. Worldline opening up to all of their merchant base has been a tremendous, a big step forward, and we've got the remaining banks coming live in the near future. So we do expect there to be higher growth coming from that particular relationship. And so I'd say, you know, positive outlook here in terms of growth in the near term, we said 6 to 12 months. And then again, Marta, you know, that is also the reason, right, why we put this business with the product segment cards together, because we talked about this before, right? The use cases are not quite the same, but they're similar, siblings in a way, right? And we do see very significant potential to move from a primarily transaction relationship on the buy now, pay later side into a cross-banking relationship in terms of other products here, right? And that's something we're working on quite actively in terms of the infrastructure and the commercial approach to get ready for this in the second half and into 2025. So we like the business, we like the relationship with Twint, and we're reiterating our guidance for the business.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star followed by one. The next question comes from Daniel Regli from ZKB. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I have four questions. One is kind of a follow-up on the development on gross yields, and what I noted is that particularly in credit cards, the gross yields have increased and have increased more than I would have anticipated by the kind of lift up in maximum rates for credit cards. So can you elaborate a bit what happened here? Has the amount of revolving credit card debt increased, or what was the reason for this pickup in yields on credit card debt? Then secondly, on your interest income, obviously we have seen these two rate cuts by the SNB. What are your expectations with regards to the maximum rate for consumer credit and credit card debt, and in how far does this impact your repricing activity and the NIM outlook? And then third, on the loan loss provisions, you have previously been saying that your target is below 1% loan loss provision rate, and now you're guiding for about a 1% loan loss provision rate. Obviously, this is nitty-gritty, but it's still slightly above your guidance, so should 2024 be rather an exceptionally high loan loss provision year, or do you expect to kind of trail at this 1% level going forward? And then last question on restructuring expenses. You have accounted for 2.7 million restructuring expenses in H1. Can you give us a bit of a guidance? What should we expect in H2 and next year in terms of restructuring expenses? Thank you.
Good morning, Daniel. Thanks for the questions. I'd say, Pascal, maybe you kick it off with the yield and the interest income, and then we'll go to Volker on the loss side, right?
Yes, happy to do so. So on the gross yield card, so indeed, so the yield has increased to 9.9% so from 8 the last year, and as you mentioned, so this is driven so by ultimately so the increase in the interest, the max interest rates. We have seen this, the two other increase of the interest rates cap. Basically, as our assets are broadly stable, you can see here the ultimately the 3%, and the impact is largely because it's short-term financing. So as soon as we reprice on the card side, as we see as the impact as within as a couple of months, so we see the impact much, much faster than on the other products, so particularly auto and P-loan. Regarding the interest rates cap, at this point, we are not aware of any change of the interest rates cap. Looking at the methodology used, it's not unlikely that the interest rate cap may change at some point in the next 6 to 12 months, but we don't know the timing, if any, and in any way we have demonstrated proactive management on this up or down, and so in that sense no concern particularly on any impact already for 2024. Regarding the restructuring provisions, 2.7 million for the first 6 months of 2024. Second half, if any, clearly lower than this amount, and no plan for 2025 yet.
Yeah, and if I continue on your question on the losses, Daniel, so our midterm target is intact. It's less or equal than 1%, and relative to the guidance, we have been delivering on this guidance. What we are seeing is the post-COVID normalization. In COVID, we cut, we reduced our risk appetite, and we have been reversing back. Which also means that we are now getting back to the long-term trend. And if you look into the prior years, it has always been kind of oscillating around 1%, which is also the reason why we give now the indication for the full year on a loss rate of around 1%. When this is said, I just want to reiterate that we should probably not look at loss rate in isolation, because there might be segments that actually are on the upper end of the loss rate, but this is justified with a good return in these segments. So that, therefore, the triangle that Holger mentioned between growth, pricing, and the risk-taking is very crucial for us. And that's also what we have been doing in the past and what we intend to do for in the future so that we deliver on our midterm targets.
Thank you for your answers. Can I quickly follow up on the restructuring expense? And obviously, until 2023, you had about 19 million in total, and now you have another. So you're getting to 22 million, and with some less in H2, maybe 24-ish for the full year. So do you kind of expect lower restructuring expenses than originally guided or announced?
You refer to 2022, 2024. So first, just to recap on the restructuring provisions, we said that we expected a one-off person cost between 3 to 5 million for the full year. Mm-hmm. And then we also said that obviously the first H1 2.7 million incurred, and clearly if any second half of the year will be lower than this amount. Yes.
But can you remind me of what you guided for the total restructuring expense for the whole operational excellence project? I believe it was more close to 30 million, if I record it right. Then now, obviously, you're only getting to about 25 million.
No, I don't recall this number. Maybe we can clarify. We said that we expect from the overall operational excellence initiatives the run rate savings of 30 million, but we didn't say the restructuring cost, the total reconstruction of the overall program. We refer to the restructuring cost for the period, financial year 2024, one-off exercise.
Okay, thank you for your answers.
Ladies and gentlemen,
sorry for that. Although you can also have a look on the page, on the appendix page 28, which give a bit more color on the development of the cost income ratio and how we will deliver the 39%, with several explanations on the restructuring provisions and one-off personal costs. Thank you. Page 28.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Laubenthal for any closing remarks.
Good. Well, look, thank you very much for dialing in this morning. Enjoyed the conversation. I'd say in summary, right, good start of the year, pleased with net revenue and also with the income side. Key milestone with the core banking transformation, right, in terms of sustainable efficiencies as we're aiming for. And I'd say, look, good visibility for the second half. So we look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks very much and have a great day.